Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
This week we have a very special show and a special guest, Mark Rasunovich, who's going to talk to us about the Fabric controller.
Wait, I'm told people can't actually see Mark. Can we do something
about
that?
All right, we have to make a couple of changes here. Well, hopefully that works a little bit better.
Yeah, this is actually, people think that Mark's super tall, but right. It turns out he's just usually standing on boxes.
I mean, I'm about 5'6", 5'6 and a half, so you're 5'8".
Yeah,
I'd
say Mark's
about that, yeah. People seem to think that I look taller for some reason in pictures. And
yeah, I don't know what that's about.
They see me in person and they're like, what?
There's not, with my hair, we're about even.
So, Mark is a technical fellow within Windows Azure.
Technical fellow, so... Contractually, we actually, every time you mention that Mark's a technical fellow, you have to do this little thing. So, let's see. Dum bum bum. For he's a technical fellow. For he's a technical fellow. For he's a technical fellow. Which nobody can deny. All right, so that was it. We have to do it. I'm sorry, folks. But he is a technical fellow.
I was going to remind you.
The other thing I think of when I hear technical fellow is, what do you think of that Mark guy? Well, he's a technical fellow.
Yeah. I think that's how it came about, that title.
Yeah, actually. It was just a casual...
There's some guy at some company, and they
just described him that way.
He's pretty technical.
Yeah, but even more importantly, though, is that Mark is the author of the brand new cyber thriller, Zero Day. Can we get a shot of the book? So he's actually on his book tour.
Starting here. This is my first
book
appearance.
So we wanted to bring you here and to talk about the book.
Right, this is Jay Leno... is right after us.
Yeah.
We got the first...
Daily Show.
The first shot at it. So Zero Day, let me read this, is an... An insidious cyber terrorist attack threatens to destroy the Western world in this debut by a leading expert in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
So that's Mark. So this is basically an instruction manual for terrorists.
That's the way it'll probably be positioned.
At some point.
It's based on your life prior to joining Microsoft.
That's
too,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mark life as a hacker.
Used to be a cyber terrorist. But this is an actual, we're not making this up. This is an actual book,
absolutely.
Zero Day, which you can pre-order on Amazon now.
Well, in fact, we've got the site up here as well, zerodaythebook.com.
Yes.
And so a lot of information here.
Order your 6 copies today.
Yep.
It's kind of cool. I just have to. We have to ask for the viewers and all. I've already asked you this question, but I think we have to ask for everybody. Previous books that you've worked on haven't been fiction novels.
Yeah.
Why a novel?
Like you point out, the books that I'd done before are nonfiction. Windows Internals, really the only nonfiction book I've done. If you consider multiple editions, maybe more than one, but. This idea actually started back in 2002, 2003, when a bunch of the network worm viruses were letting loose and causing havoc, and it always turned out to be some kid in his, parents' basement by himself that's like knocking out ATMs. And so then this is right, not too long after 9/11, thinking, this would be a very powerful tool if it was used in a more deliberate, organized way. And so I thought, I need to write the story.
So you thought terrorists were just missing a big opportunity, and you should illuminate for them.
Well.
It's good. I'm glad that you did that, Mark. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully we can be ready for them.
I think it's interesting. I can't wait to read it, to be honest, because I agree. I think it's a really interesting concept. So, and it's I'm very excited to read a novel from someone I've only read nonfiction technical documents from before. So
that's great.
So that's why we have Mark on the show. Yep. It's just about this book. There's nothing else.
Yeah, I can go now.
About Mark. No, you have to stay. But really, we're not even going to talk to you for the rest of the show. We should cover some of the other news, and then we will come back and talk to Mark.
We do have quite a few things to cover today.
Too much news, really.
Yeah.
Everyone should stop doing stuff. So there's not so much news.
All right. So the first item we're covering is some changes in STB.
Yeah, I don't know. We've probably mentioned on the show that Bob was going to be leaving as president of the server and tools business.
I don't know if we actually covered it or not. We may not.
I don't remember exactly when it happened, or if we had a show that was. Yeah. Might have been in December or was it? Anyway, if you didn't know, Bob Muglia is going to be moving on. He's still here through probably the end of the summer, but we've been looking for the new president of, personally, Wade and I have been conducting a search for who's going to be the new president.
It's taken a long time, too.
Of the server and tools business, and it's going to be Satya Nadella, who's worked on a bunch of stuff, but most recently, you know, search stuff. And so that's exciting. It's good to know. Good to know who that is. I don't know Satya yet, but I'm eager to meet him. He's not going to meet with somebody like me. Too low down on the totem pole. At the same time, we have much sadder news, at least sad for me personally, and I think for a lot of the Windows Azure team, which is that Amitabh Srivastava, who was still is right now, but he has been the vice president of Windows Azure since the beginning. Last week
we covered it last week.
We talked about the history of
David
Windows
Cutler
Azure
and Amitabh.
And Amitabh's been there from the ground up, kind of leading the vision of the team and actually running the team for all this time. And the announcement went out this morning. We're recording this on Wednesday, so Wednesday morning that Amitabh was going to be moving on to new ventures. And so that's all we know right now in terms of that. I know that we've been sort
of... Well, we also know Bill Lang is...
We do, that's
interim.
True. Right, and so Bill Lang, who's been running the server, Windows Server...
Under Amitabh, is moved up to...
Right, so he's gonna sort of, in the interim at least, I mean, yeah. I think that sort of left, he's going to be kind of driving things. Anyway, it's very sad, personally, I think, to see Amitabh. He's been with this team and
for the whole time.
Well, yeah, it's
who created
it, right? It's definitely, it's personally something that's been sad for a lot of us on the team, and we've all been kind of talking about it. But best of luck to Amitabh on whatever
Absolutely.
He ends up doing next. He's done huge stuff for the cloud, and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep carrying that vision for it. So, all right, enough sad, sappy stuff.
This is a good piece of news.
This is also sad.
This actually happened.
I'm very sad about, I mean, extra small instances. They're just depressing.
Yeah. Well, this actually happened last week, right? But we weren't able to cover it on this show. The extra small instances are now available as a public beta.
Right.
So they've been closed before.
Right. Still in beta, before you have to sign up and wait on a list, and then you get an email and you get in. Now you're just in. You can just use extra small instances, which is cool. Extra small instances are priced at 5 cents an hour, as opposed to the small, which is 12 cents an hour, and it sort of goes up from there. So a very good kind of low-cost
entry
on the platform. I don't know when they'll be out of beta entirely, so they're still, consider them still beta, but you can go use them.
Yep. Also last week, or actually was it earlier this week, my team released the updates to the Windows Azure Service Management Commandlets. So these are a set of commandlets that you can use that wrap the proxy services, so the management API and the diagnostics API.
Right.
And so you can write all kinds of scripts, deploy your applications, upgrade them, all of that through PowerShell. So it's been something we've wanted to update for a while to not only get the support for 1.3, and I mean, folks could do it, they just had to recompile it and have the right assemblies, but, you know, out of the box it'll support it, and so happy to get that out there.
Yep, that's very cool.
So that's a good update.
Oh, this one we should talk about. So this is the, there's a refresh to the SDK, to the 1.3 Windows Azure SDK that's addressing a security issue. It's from the book Zero Day. and so cyber terrorists discovered that, we discovered in our own testing. So as far as we know, this isn't something that's been exploited. But you should still pick it up because it's security related. And basically it relates to whether a user of an application can read the contents of a cookie that comes. They can't tamper with it.
Right.
Often cookies are stuff that you'd be okay with the user reading, but you should, especially if you are concerned about if there's data in there that you're relying on sort of being an encrypted cookie and thus being invisible so that nobody could gain knowledge of what was in there, then you should definitely pick up this fix. You should anyway, because it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And I think that's the only change. I don't think you have to worry too much about picking this up. The version number will change slightly, and there'll be a fix for this one particular issue.
Yep.
And so you should go pick that up.
Yep. It's pretty straightforward. You know, we actually went through and did regression tests against all the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit content, and with no issues. So it's a pretty minimal impact in terms of the app. So great.
Cool.
All right. And then the last bit of news is actually something that's occurring today.
Yeah.
And this is
on some nobody's blog.
Yes. So
who this guy
so it's kind of fun. I get to announce this on my blog, but But yeah, we have a refresh of the Windows Azure at Fabric going into the Labs environment today. Yeah. And so some neat things coming with it. The first thing is actually having some alignment between the at Fabric portal and the Windows Azure portal. So it's going to be the Silverlight-based portal, consistent UI experience, and so forth. So that's nice, just from a development perspective.
Not actually it's not in the same
portal.
Yeah,
so this
yet,
is still
right?
Labs, right. So if you take a look at this and when you hit it, you'll see that you only have access to the service bus access control caching.
Right. But and in the terms eventual of the overall, plan, like once this ships in production, yeah. It'll just get merged.
It's going to get merged.
But this way, at least it's the same UI that it's going to be in whatever, which is good. Yeah.
And along with it also came some updates to the caching service. So in particular, the support for both 128 and 256 megabytes in cache size. So you can choose what cache size you want. When we release to production, we'll offer more sizes as well. Mm-hmm. Also, the ability to scale up and scale down your cache size. So if you need to, move up and graduate to 256, you can do that. If you don't need 256 and you want to move back down to 128, you can do that as well. There's been some performance improvements and very minor changes to the API, which we will get
and
to.
And we're going
to cover
that
later.
About one of those things. Yeah.
Yep, and so that's good. The news for this week.
All right, the heck with the news. Now that we're done with that, we can get to what's important, which is Mark, our guest, who's now working on the Fabric controller within Windows Azure. And we were just talking right before the show. Mark is surprised that I don't know the answer, but I don't, of how you actually arrived at the Windows Azure team. What brought you here? Kind of what are you focusing on? And then, of course, I mean, you can tell us.
Right.
We will
anything
sit and listen to anything you say. You can talk about...
Just
whatever.
Because you need to fill the show, right?
We just we have a certain number of minutes.
Yeah.
We prepay for that, and so we got to do it. Tell us who you are. Tell us how you kind of got onto Windows Azure.
Okay. So, a lot of people know that I was in Windows before, and I joined Microsoft in 2006 when my company was acquired, but I'd worked with Microsoft a long time before that on Windows. And after Windows 7 shipped, I went through the Windows 8 planning process. During that time, I was talking to people I knew over on the Azure side, that friends that I'd made back in Windows days, including Bob Muglia, Amitabh, Dave Cutler.
So everyone you know...
Well, Dave's still here.
Okay, Dave's still around.
And Riazzi, actually.
Yeah, great.
So,
glad I didn't know you very well back then.
I don't know the cause and effect there.
Yeah, I assume all correlations are causal.
Yeah.
Like that's sort of, if two things happen around the same time, I assume that they're because of each other. That's sort of my mental model.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, Mark wouldn't hire me.
What's your sign, by the way? In any case, they were talking to me. Azure had started to mature, right? It had CTP form, and it was just had actually started charging. You covered this last week.
Yeah. Yep.
So at that point, I could look at it and understand what it was all about and kind of say, I guess I do get this vision. And Azure's at the point, actually, where it's ready to kind of take off and become a platform that lots of internal groups would be building on top of, and ideally ISVs would be building on top of as well. And so it was a great time to transition over before Windows 8 really got underway and get into the team. And so I joined the Fabric Controller team, which is the way I talk about Azure, Windows Azure, the platform, I talk about it as the cloud operating system. And the Fabric Controller is the kernel. If you take that metaphor a little further and compare it to the Windows operating system, the kernel is responsible for managing the hardware resources and defining what a process looks like, and the equivalents on Azure are managing the data center and defining what an application looks like, which is the service model, as everybody knows. So I'm on that team focused on those things, but I work across the Windows Azure team.
I see you in the middle of all sorts of stuff. I think Mark's one of those guys who gets interested in a problem and kind of gets in. So it's kind of funny because people ask me what your job is on the team, and I'm like, well, he works on Fabric Controller, But that's that's like a huge portion of the, And I never get more specific than that because I know that it's sort of, it's the problems that we need you on and the stuff that you see that you want to fix, right? So that's good.
There's actually two things that I do focus on, besides a whole bunch of other things that I work on, and that is the service model.
Yep.
So
yep.
Working on the evolution of the service model, and there's a whole bunch of different requirements and functionality that we want to bring into the platform, which requires looking at how do we model that, should we model that, what should be dynamic, what should be APIs. So a lot of focus on that, making sure we get it right, because we are building something we're probably going to have to live with for a long time.
Yeah, Steve and I have reflected on this. We had a show a little while back on the startup tasks, and great functionality, great capabilities, but there's still some issues and challenges around how you have to go about doing certain things with startup tasks.
Well, that happened before I joined, so...
Right, that's not...
That would explain that.
That's my fault, not Mark's, okay?
But to have the service model at a point where you could be more expressive in terms of some of the things that you might want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's great to have you on that, so...
Yeah, and we keep adding stuff, right? I mean, there's startup tasks one day, and then there's, you know, and we keep adding functionality, and then you need a way to model that, and you have to make decisions about, is it actually part of the model, or is it something else?
Yeah. And make sure everything's consistent too. So this feature over here, you don't model in this weird sub language, and this one a different one.
Right. One offs are not the way to deal with this, right? We need sort of thing. And it's good to have you working on that. And then you said the second thing
is identity. So people that have been using Azure, there's two places where Azure's visibly missing identity, and one of them is the portal, where people want to divide roles, their subscription into various roles, like the developer, the operator of the service, and IT shops get even more granular than that, and actually have multiple services running under the same subscription where they want certain people to have certain access to different services. So we're missing identity for that scenario, and the other one where it's visible that we're missing it is in just the way services talk to each other and talk to resources. And this is causing the certificate pains and the keys that you need for storage, and everybody having to manage the rollover of those things and making sure those things are deployed, but keeping them secret. And so the identity stuff, we're partnering really tightly with the ACS guys to build what's the next generation.
I imagine Captain Identity himself, Vittorio, is involved in
He's involved. In John Shuchuk is another technical fellow that I'm working closely with.
We don't have to sing that again just because he said
No, he said
fellow.
It, not us.
Okay,
so
good. Then we're
that's
safe.
That's part of the contract.
And we don't have to sing it when we say it. So.
That's good.
I do like other people having to sing every time I say it, though, so maybe I'll look into getting that changed for that. So, until that happens. In any case, John Shuchuk is over there. And so we're architecting the identity story for building it from the lowest layers up all the way up to...
That's great.
And you're also making sure that all of the sysinternals tools are pre-installed on every Windows Azure virtual machine.
And actually, people might not be aware that they already are. Really, I slip into the image, and the Red Dog team probably doesn't know it either.
Our security model's really bad. Mark just goes in and he just puts this stuff in. Nobody even knows.
I think it was that cookie.
It's all in this book.
It's the cookie vulnerability, actually, I was taking advantage of to do that.
But did you want to show anything? I know we I asked this question.
I'd like to. No, actually,
I should probably let you
do whatever you want.
Well, for my own services, I do. My favorite tool is, of course,
Process Explorer,
right?
Yeah. I don't know, because there's so many. I don't know. There's Procmon my favorite.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
actually. That's up there, too.
I mean, Process Explorer, like, sometimes, but Procmon is when I can't figure out what the heck is going on, I'm just getting an, access denied error.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Procmon is invaluable. Of the tools, though, the one I use most often is Zoomit. I use that.
That's actually true.
Actually, that is my favorite tool.
I use it less on VMs in the cloud, but I do.
Well, anytime you want to express something via email, I will, I'll draw a rectangle around it.
Yeah.
I'll annotate it somehow, then capture it and send
it. People come into my office, and I'll have something on screen. I'll zoom it up. Yep. So it's not just for presentations.
Yep.
And if
Absolutely.
I'm bored, I just doodle with it, and it's...
That's good.
Yeah.
I just carry a magnifying glass around with me, and then I just look at stuff like that.
Yeah, this is Zoom 2.0 technology we're dealing with.
Can you zoom it on your machine and on a VM you're remoted into? And is it like double? I mean, is it...
Well, the keystrokes are...
Two magnifying glasses.
The keystrokes are captured by one another, but you can be zoomed in on a RDP session and then zoom in on top of that. We could do that, actually, if you wanted to.
That's Inception, right? I think that's the basis for that movie.
All right, so what are we going to...
So I'm going to show you how I get Process Explorer just in all my services.
Hmm.
I mean, you're talking about startup tasks, and that's exactly how I do it. So if you look down here...
it's like we did it on purpose. Yeah.
This is the service, and I've put processexplorer.exe in there and a little command script, which, if we open that up, is it just copies Process Explorer from wherever the script happens to be, which is right next to the exe to the System32 directory so I know exactly where it is, and then I do a reg key add to have it become the debugger. It's the image file execution options. And when you say in Process Explorer replace task manager, that's exactly what it's doing. So I've got that actually up in my cloud service.
I want to ask you a question. How do you make your batch files? Do you do them in Visual Studio? Because
we
discovered this, and someone gave us a tip later that we didn't know about, which is that Visual Studio has a save as option that lets you pick the encoding. Because I always have trouble, if you create a batch file...
It puts the bomb in front of
right,
you. And you, so you get that
byte order mark that messes things up.
And as soon as you try to execute it and deploy
I use Notepad.
See, that's what that's why we didn't know how to do it, because I always just open Notepad for it. But, all right,
so I'm logging into the
portal. I wonder what the expert did on it.
Signing in with my Microsoft ID. And so what I'll do is RDP in. And
prove it all works.
There's actually... a more manual way of getting Process Explorer in there, but I'm going to show you the taking advantage. Whoops, I hate that. When is Silverlight going to have right-click?
It does have right-click, doesn't it? I thought Silverlight 4 on.
Yeah,
Silverlight was right-click. We just decided we didn't want it. I don't know what happened with...
All right. I'm sure there's a really good reason.
It probably is.
One of the things that I've done when I'm doing development, active development, debugging startup tasks, is I've started including PSExec along with my application so that I can invoke the script if I have a problem as system from the machine to see how it behaves. Because we've uncovered some issues, and I think you've helped debug these issues.
The only reason I know how to do that is because I went to Mark's office, and I said, I can't figure out what's going on. He said, well, try running a system, and how do you do that? Well, I still happen to have a tool. It's I ask him gets answered with the SysInternals website.
And I discovered this without Mark's help.
Ooh.
So I thought of doing it.
That's impressive. You get points that he doesn't get.
I failed at that. I wish I knew that before I just said that.
I do like it when you come in and I get to make you feel kind of dumb by.
I have like a really hard question. You know, I'm like, Mark, how do you do this? Is there like an API? It's like, oh yeah, you just do PS something. Or, you know, it's just I don't know. It makes me feel dumb.
Well, so here's I'm already peed in. So here's Task Manager. And there we go.
And it works.
That is very cool.
So exactly the way you'd want it.
That's good to have. That's a good tip.
There's inside of a role.
See, I always just, I go in and then I go to live.sysinternals.com I click from there, which is actually not that hard either, but then you haven't installed it as the, it's not automatic.
Yeah, that's not hard either, and the other thing that I do if I need something like Zoomit in there is I just go copy it from my machine and paste it in onto the desktop and then run it from there.
Beauty of remote desktop.
Yeah, so that's
cool.
Process Explorer. What else?
Nifty. There,
I don't know.
We said we will sit anything, here and listen to anything you say.
Anything.
Bob might have to bleep it out. It depends what you say. There's the possibility it will be replaced by bleeping.
Okay.
But pretty much anything
that's
else.
Fine,
we'll still listen. It's just the people at home that will never hear it.
Right. when you were, we were talking before the show about how you guys are nominated for an Annie Award, which is really
true.
So why don't we go to the Annie?
Pull that up.
Yeah.
So
and it's just about us. The 90s, there's no
nobody
other
else really
so
matters.
I still kind of need some context. Yeah. What is this 90 Award?
So I don't know.
90.
I think it's a popularity contest.
It is. I think it is. I mean,
we could be like homecoming king and king.
90 Awards. So it's the Channel 9 guys, and this is the first annual, so it's, I think, even more special if you win this year. Wow, how many clicks
is
do you have
to... Is it annual?
It says first annual, so...
Oh, okay. All I've seen is that it's the first.
Oh, so you've already taken it.
But it's actually...
So it's a survey to vote for some of your favorite things, right?
Who did you vote for?
I'm not telling.
Shows, blogs, and some other things,
right?
But winner, there's going to be a winner.
They're announcing a winner at Mix, right? I think they're going to do like an award
thing. Are they canceling all the other shows?
I think that you get to give a speech and then they play music to get you to shut up.
Whoever's in last place, the show gets shut down.
I believe it's also, right, it's a little like American Idol. Each year, the lowest vote rated show won't make the cut.
Yeah. So your blog got nominated.
My blog got nominated.
In fact, there's kind of a neat thing. You go to Bing and you just search for Mark's blog. Right?
I don't know how you pull this off.
So just type in Mark's blog.
It's ridiculous.
And there it is.
Yeah.
We tried Steve's blog and we gave up after the first couple pages.
Blog, it didn't quite work either.
Those didn't work.
It does cost a lot of money to get that to happen.
So those of you should
vote for all of us because Wade and
cloud
I
cover.
For the show are sort of on there.
And just for those people that do like the blog, please vote because Raymond Chen's encouraging his followers to vote, and he's got a rabid following. So I know my guys are more laid back and
whatever you do, don't vote for Raymond. That's what. Just don't. Yeah. That guy. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But Mark, yes, you should vote for. Yeah. And you can vote for Cloud Cover if you really want to, but frankly.
You don't really
frankly,
care.
Until
you
I
don't
win.
Seem like you really care.
No, until I win, I don't like it.
Care.
I'm not, it's like, no, this is stupid. I'm not even trying. If we win, then I'll be really excited and pumped, and I'll be high fiving people and stuff like that. But we are on there. I think also one thing, just like you shouldn't vote for Raymond, you should definitely not vote for This Week in Channel 9 with enemy of the show Brian Keller. We've sucked now. Wade, this is the first time Wade got sucked in. Wade has to choose sides now.
I've talked with Brian. I'm trying to stay apart.
Didn't
from
we actually?
That.
Oh wait, he's not the enemy of the show anymore because we already did the thing.
I thought you guys made up.
We made up. Okay, never
mind. Raymond the enemy of the show.
Raymond Chen is the enemy of the show.
Enemy of the show.
Yeah, you heard it here first. And it's probably the only place you'll hear
he's
it.
He's a really nice guy, but he's our enemy now.
But he's an enemy,
So should we...
He dresses too well, that's why.
That's
he's always
true.
Wearing, like, a suit.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
But I did... there's... Back to SysInternals, though.
Enough about that. Yeah. Let's talk about SysInternals.
There is a SysInternals Azure tool that I've been slowly
to show that.
Working on, and it's still rough and...
So you can't have it at home, right?
Yeah.
This is not a...
So this is a Storage Explorer... type tool, and everybody will compare it to Cerebrata. And version 1 is not going to have all the multiple years of richness that Cerebrata has built up, because I'm doing this in my spare time. But this is just looking at one of my storage accounts,
great.
And you've got basic abilities to do stuff. And now let me create a little folder, Cloud Cover, and then you get the ability to drag and drop stuff in there, so I can drag in.
Does it set the MIME type right?
Yeah.
See, that's good.
You thought you'd get me, didn't you?
I was hoping to either publicly shame you into doing it, or that it was already done.
So these are my blue screen of death pictures, but so
which you can change to pink or other colors.
Yeah, you can do that now. That was one of my blog posts.
I saw that. Yeah. Yes.
That's basically it.
Because a pink screen sounds a lot better than a blue screen.
Yeah,
it does. It sounds, it sounds like nothing in particular, so that's better than a blue screen. And you've got cues in here, which I like. There are a lot of tools that do one of these things. Or
like blobs or tables.
Well, and here's this.
Cues seems to be missing a
this
lot.
This table has been, it's from a service that's been generating heartbeats every 5 seconds for the last several months, and so this is populating asynchronously, but you can see it.
So it's just filling,
it says massive numbers.
Also good, so you don't have to just wait forever or page through things and whatever.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. Yeah. So everyone's going to want to know, when is this going to be available for them to download and use? And we're probably not going to
by the time we publish the show, right?
So yeah, right. We have 2 days
the
until the show goes live, so... Ambush. We should change the name of the show to Cloud Ambush.
Well, I did ask you to be co-author on it, and then it would get done sooner, but you're too good for
I haven't written very many lines of code yet.
Yeah, you don't know C# very well, do you?
No, I only write
Ruby and
C++.
Yeah.
C, really, with some inline assembly.
Actually, this is my first of any scale C# WPF app.
WPF,
so,
and where,
So it's it was a kind of a learning curve, especially because I wanted it to look and act a certain way, and when it doesn't act that way by default, it's Win32 is pretty painful that way too. But they're painful in different ways.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's what we aim for in a platform, is painful in different ways than the previous platform. That doesn't bode well for us. Okay, should we move on to the tip of the week and cover that? Yeah. So we need some intro for the tip of the week, probably something zero day related.
Yeah, security, terrorism,
cybersecurity. We'll let Bob sort that out, but I'd like to see some cyber terrorists.
Yeah.
I think... thinking about images of cyber terrorists is making me laugh. I'm sure Bob's brain's doing even weirder things. So,
here's
the
tip of the week.
And we're back. Like we had a commercial break off? Or something.
So the tip is related to the updates to the caching service.
Yeah.
So if I may borrow the machine again. So one of the things I alluded to before is that there were some minor changes to the API. And one of the primary things is when you end up creating and constructing the data cache security that attaches the authentication token to the request, the constructor changed. So previously, the authentication token you could pass in and store as a string. So you'd see it in a couple of different ways. You'd put the auth token in the config file, and it would be picked up by the data cache security object. Or in line, if you're just coding against the API, you create a string auth token equals, and then your string. Yeah. Now it's actually
that was too simple, right?
It was simple.
Strings are
but the issue there is that loading that string in memory is probably not the most secure thing to do. And so what they've done is they've switched it from a string to using system.security.securestring, which, to be honest,
and this is all covered in Zero Day, the cyber terror thriller by Mark Rusinovich.
I'll be honest, I actually was not familiar with SecureString prior to this.
So I've used it. You know when I used SecureString was creating certificates. I mean, all the certificate APIs are obviously sensitive about security, and you do need, you have to, the C-sharp way to get into the Win32, the native code part for that has some fun stuff that you can do.
Yeah. So the main thing to take away from it is, since what we're trying to do is prevent you from loading your entire string or your password token into memory, you actually cannot just set the secure string equal to your token. And you append a character at a time to the secure string. So the primary use case for this is, let's say I'm in a console app or a Win application. As I'm typing my password, it can grab the character and attach it to the secure string. Since the caching service, you're dealing with a very long token, it makes it a little bit awkward when you're coding directly against the API. So to get around this, and I would emphasize that this is largely for development. When you're moving into production, the best way to go about doing this is to drive from config on an encrypted string. That's the way that you want to end up doing it. When you're developing, there's some other ways. So essentially what I've covered here is how to... It's just basically a method that will allow you to pass in the string and return the security, the secure string.
Right.
So very simple. You can take a look at it here. Iterates through the screen, the string, grabs the characters, places it in the secure string, and returns it back to you. So then, when you go to actually construct your data cache security object, you have the right type.
Right.
So, little tip.
Development only, right? I'm going to repeat the emphasis on the development only.
Well, you'll see updates in the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit that will emphasize this.
Right.
Updates in MSDN documentation and so forth. So, so that's the tip this week.
Cool.
All right, get off your boxes.
Oh yeah, let's get back down to
this reality.
Yeah, we're actually this height.
Yeah.
It's even I'm standing on my tiptoes. It's about here.
So great, thanks, Mark. So people don't go.
We went through like the whole thing. Like I thought people were going to believe that. Okay, but apparently not. All right, I think that wraps up this week.
Yep. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having
thanks
me.
So much for being on here, Mark.
Look forward to being back again sometime.
People Absolutely. Should let us know what you think, let us know what you want to cover by tweeting us at @CloudCoverShow on the Twitters, on the internets.
Yep.
And Mark tweets now.
Yeah, that's true.
Like as of a few weeks ago or something, right? I mean, you've actually just started tweeting.
Yeah.
So everyone should also follow Mark on Twitter and tell him what you think of his Process Explorer. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you release it this Friday, so.
Yeah. Right.
Process Explorer.
Process Explorer,
But let's get feedback on the Storage Explorer as well.
Tell him when you would like him to ship it, actually. Yeah. Like, if you want it to be 6 months from now, or if you want it to be at the end of the week, just let him know. He'll take that into consideration. Okay, until next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.